Yeah. All right. Elijah and the rapture. This is just the beginning. This is going to lay the foundation because there's so much, believe it or not, in those two little verses, there's so much that it's impossible to get this done in just a matter of a few minutes. This will take a long study, so we're just going to do two parts. And in between, we're probably going to do some, because next week is the first week of the month. I thought about doing something for Valentine's Day, which would be the following week, but because we did the very first of the month, back to basics, I think we're going to do love next week, back to the basics of love, okay, what God calls love, all right? So now, rapture, 3D, part one, Elijah and the rapture. Now I want to tell you something. Now, we're about to experience something that the world has never seen. We're about to experience one of the greatest events in human history. We don't hear it talked about. We don't hear it a lot, especially in the political climate that we're in. All we're hearing about there is how we're going to get our way. Okay? Honestly, it's just one side wants their way, the other side wants their way, and how are we going to get it? The one with, it's just like war, the way war is, the person when they get through fighting, the one with the most people win. Okay, when people left win. Well, in this political climate, it's going to be the one with the most people left wins because nobody's winning in this. We're all losing. Okay, as long as there's all this fighting going on all over the world in this political spectrum that we got going on, we're all losers. Okay, and it is, and believe me, I'm going to tell you this right up front. It is a falsehood, and it is something very crazy to believe that one party can bring peace to another party. Period. Everybody's got to be together, and not only going to be together, but the way to see eye to eye is not to see this party or that party or this country is to see God's Word. God's Word is where the peace is at. God's Spirit is where the peace is at. There is no man on this earth that can do what God's Word can do. So something's getting ready to happen in history, one of the greatest events in human history, and they've already got it figured out how they already know how to tell what happened, you know, but with something drastic, and I do mean drastic, is getting ready to take place. You can tell that it's getting ready to take place, again, when you see the stuff in this world getting crazier and crazier and crazier, and when you see all this politically correctness, which is actually trying to wipe out biblical correctness, you know that something getting ready to take place. Something drastic's getting ready to take place, and what it's going to be is, watch this. When this takes place, it's going to summon the end of the church age. Right now, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, and when he rose again, once he rose again, and then as he went to the Father, the church was born on the day of Pentecost. From the day of Pentecost unto now has been the church age. Once the church is raptured out, the church age is over. Okay? It's kind of like right now, you think things are tough now. Wait till the church is taken out of the way. Wait till it's no longer the church age, but it's the day of Christ, the age of the day of Christ, okay? Which is judgment day. So now, this summons the end of the church age. Now, I want to show you something here. It's also known as the church age, it's the age of grace. There's seven dispensations. I didn't write it down up here. There's seven dispensations in the Bible. And these dispensations are literally, it's a time where God changes modes, okay? Although God himself never changes, because history, the way history works is it works in increments. And there are seven increments in time, dispensations that God has designed. The first dispensation was the dispensation of innocence. And that's when Adam, what he did in the Garden of Eden, it was innocent. Adam had no idea. If Adam could have seen all this, even after he failed, if Adam could have seen all this, I can't even imagine what he would think, what we're seeing right now, the stuff we're seeing, okay? So there's the age of innocence. Or the dispensation of innocence. Then there's the age of conscience. And that's from the fall in the garden to the great flood. Then there's the, the age or the dispensation of human government. And that is from the great flood, and it goes all the way to the Tower of Babel and keeps on going. Then there's number four, the age or dispensation of promise, and that's from Abraham to Moses. Then there's the age or the dispensation of law, which is from Moses to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Then there's the age of grace. The age of grace is from the crucifixion of Jesus Christ until the end of the church age or the rapture. So we're getting ready. We're in this age of grace. We're in the church age, but all's getting ready to take go crazy, because when we're taken out, all hell is going to break loose. You think it's bad now, it's nothing compared to what's coming. But hold on, church, we're not going to see all of this. We're not going to see all the crazy mess that's getting ready to happen in that 7 years. Because look, the last age is the millennial kingdom, which starts with the Jesus coming back with us and taking over and showing the world how to reign. But there's that little 7 year period in there. In that little 7 year period, that's when God reclaims the earth. That's when God converts the Jews, and that's when God actually takes the devil by the horn, so to speak, and beats his head in the wall. Okay? He wins. You know, in game, God wins. So it's the end of the age of grace, and it's the end of the age of the Spirit. Wow. The end of the age of the Spirit. See, look there, it's the rapture taking place right there. See that rapture taking place? The rapture, when it comes, the Spirit, although the Spirit will never be pulled totally out of the way because people will still be getting saved during the tribulation, the flow of the Spirit poured out among all is going to be removed. And it's going to be like in the Old Testament, like with Samson, when he needed it, there was the power of the Spirit came upon him. You'll look and you'll see Saul, the Spirit came upon him and he prophesied. You see David, the Spirit came upon David when he took out Goliath. You know, so you see all these things. Now it's poured out freely, although we don't see them like we should. We don't experience them like we should. And we're not even engulfed in it like we should be. We should be. That word, baptism of the Holy Ghost, means to be clothed with power from on high. It's like putting a big old coat on you. And it's something to protect you, and it's something to empower you. And it's something we don't see a whole lot of anymore. Okay? But still, this age is the age where the Spirit can move like this. But once the Spirit is taken out through the church, then really things are going to get rough. So watch this. Reasons for the rapture. Why is God going to rapture the church? It's not just because of this crazy world that's calling good or good bad and bad good. And it's not because this crazy world is trying to silence anybody that says anything godly or anything that's got to do with good stuff. They're trying to squelch it. But anything that's crazy, they keep just magnifying it and magnifying it and magnifying it. It's because they're trying to convert people. They're trying to get people to get their mind off what's actually happening. It's kind of like I'm holding this pen in my hand. And I'm telling you, there's no pen in my hand. There's no pen in my hand. It's your imagination. There's no pen in my hand. And if I tell you enough, it's going to disappear. Because once you start to believe it, you only see what you believe. You only see what you're prepared to see. Although the pen's still there, if I tell you enough, or you'll say that can't be the real thing. So that's what's happening in this world today. It's a conditioning that is taking place that's going to set up for the one world government and set up for the Antichrist. It's all about the Antichrist coming into power now. He's having his platform put in power, and I promise you, his power is not going to say, we are the Republicans, we are the Democrats, we are the Independents. His platform is going to be, I am Christ. I am the Son of God. Okay? So we can get beyond, if we can please get beyond the politics of this day and understand what's really happening is, conditioning is taking place to get us ready for what's coming. So God, because we're his bride, he doesn't want to mutilate his bride. I remember when Linda come down that altar on the day we got married, I can promise you there was no more beautiful woman I'd ever seen in my entire life, because here was my bride coming down for me. Amen? That was awesome. Okay, can you imagine? We're Christ's bride. And so you think he's going to mutilate us in the 7 years of tribulation? Going to let us be torn to pieces? So look, number one, it brings the bride home to heaven. That's the number one thing. The number one, I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. We can say, toodaloo, y'all handle it yourself. Y'all are not doing a good job anyway. Go ahead and you can have it. I don't want it anymore. I promise you, I can't wait for that day. I can't wait to see what's going to happen when we finally get to heaven and see Jesus Christ face to face. Secondly, it brings us into an eternal fellowship. We're already in an eternal relationship. Listen carefully. Once you say yes to Jesus Christ, you're in an eternal relationship, okay? But you can mess it up. But guess what? Once the rapture takes place, all that's gone. You're not going to mess up anything because you're going to be in eternal fellowship, not just relationship, fellowship with God. I talked to my dad this morning. He's in Greensburg. We haven't had a talk this morning. We had a relational talk, but we did not have fellowship because he's in Greensburg and I'm here in the great big metropolis of Edward. I mean, he almost gets scared when I call all the way from Edward down to that little bitty town in Greensburg. All right. So you get brought into an eternal fellowship. You're with God, never to be touched, never to be harmed by Satan or sin or temptation again. Also, it is the completion of salvation by grace. We believe not by our works, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, we are saved. And we are saved here to serve, but we're also saved ultimately to spend eternity with God. So because of that, once the rapture takes place, that is to the completion of salvation by grace, because those the dead in Christ shall rise, they shall get their glorified bodies, they will go to God, we will be changed in midair, we're going to go meet Him too, and that is the completion of salvation by grace. I'm telling you what, that's going to be an awesome, awesome day. Then it brings the believer into his rewards. You know, people die, and we'd say this, and you know what, honestly, you know, this is kind of a misnomer or a misrepresentation that when a believer dies, he gets his rewards. No, he gets to be pulled out of this mess and he's forever with God, but he doesn't get his rewards yet. The reason he doesn't get his rewards yet, because, you know, if somebody dies 100 years before the rapture takes place, although he's dead, his fruit still blossoms. His influence still lives on. You got to think about that when you're influencing people. When you influence somebody, you influence them for eternity. It's very seldom I get up in this pulpit, I don't think about Brother Haslett. He's dead and gone, but I think about him and I think about his influence on my life. He's been dead for quite some time, but still, his fruit is still blossoming and blooming. All those ministers he helped along the way and trained, now they're all out in the ministry and they're taking care of business. Things that you do, you don't even think about. You might not even realize you may have just been good to somebody who was about to give it up. You were good to them, and because you were good to them, they saw God in a different way. You know, there is a story. There was a preacher who was going to go preach a camp meeting, and he stopped at a restaurant with the other preachers before the camp meeting, and it was in a city, and waitress kept coming to the table, and the Holy Spirit kept telling him, "Tell her that I love her." And he said, "Lord, I'm busy right now. I'm trying to talk to these ministers. I don't have time to work with people. I just need to get this together so I can get back to the camp meeting." And every time she come by, the Spirit would speak to him and say, "Tell her I love her." And he just kept refusing. Well, they got it to leave. He left a good tip. And they go to camp meeting, and they had to pass by this restaurant. When they come back from camp meeting, as they come back from camp meeting, they see a rescue squad outside. So they pull up to see what's going on, and that waitress had committed suicide in the back room. And she left a note that said, "Nobody loves me." True story. Now, can you imagine if that preacher, that reward he would have got because telling her that God loved her, there's no telling what she could have done to help out, and they pass it on and pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. So your reward is going to be, even after you die, until we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb and we're at the judgment seat of Christ, your influence and what you did, your fruit, the seeds you plant will keep bearing fruit until that day. So So it brings us into rewards. And it's removal of the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, verse 7, it says, he that now letteth will let until he's taken out of the way, meaning, talking about when the son of perdition, the Antichrist is not going to come. Again, I'm not going to argue with you whether you want to be pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. That's okay. I'm not going to argue because you can find it any way you want to in the Bible as far as when the exact time of the rapture. But from all my studying in the Bible, it looks to me like just like the scripture right here, it says, the son of perdition is not going to be revealed until first there's a great falling away, which is what we're having right now. But also, those are going to be a great falling away. But also, he that letteth will be taken out of the way. Then the son of perdition will be revealed, or the Antichrist. So we are he that letteth. We are the Holy Spirit's embedded or lives within us. And when we're taken out of the way, the Holy Spirit will be moved from the age of grace and the age of the Spirit. It sets the stage for the 7-year tribulation. Once we're taken away, that's literally when Satan's handed the keys. All right? Right now, he keeps borrowing the keys, but once that happens, the keys are going to place right in his hand. All right? They're going to be taken out again, but for 7 years, he's going to run this place. And look, and it sets the stage for the Antichrist rise to power. He's going to explain why we all disappeared. He's going to explain why he needs to be in control. You say, who would do something like that? How about Hitler with all those Jews that he murdered? Not only did he murder Jews, do you know that he murdered many, many of his own people and nobody even knew about it? When soldiers would come back from war and they needed rehabilitation and they were really, really in bad shape, you know what he did? He killed them. The old folks, when they needed some nursing homes and some extra care, you know what he did? He killed them. When people come up and they didn't meet his standards, you know what he did? He killed them. So it wasn't just the Jews. He killed his own people, but he had his people brainwashed, conditioned. How, Hitler? Hallelujah, Hitler. Wow. The Antichrist is going to have a lot more power. Hitler was a type of Antichrist, but the Antichrist is going to have a lot more power than Hitler and Mussolini and all these other guys that ruled and got people to kill people and just literally just conditioned them and hypnotized them and got them to do what he wanted. So this is all going to take place after the rapture. So now, I'm going to show you some pictures and types of the rapture. First, I'm going to give the actual scripture or the names, and then I'm going to actually go back individually. But pictures and types. Watch this now. I was talking about pictures and types. I was praying, and I said, Lord, I need to be able to describe pictures and types in a way that really makes sense. You know, that's different. And so this is what the Lord told me while I was praying, so I wrote it down. God always leaves a trail of prophetic breadcrumbs in the form of pictures and types that lead up to the actual prophetic event years before it happens. How does he do this? He does this by having events happen in the Bible that are recorded. If you go back and look, you'll see how they match up with and serve as a prophecy to what's coming years later. So again, it shows that God, watch this, these pictures and these types show that God is always in control and that God is calling history. Not man, not the Antichrist, not Satan, God is calling history. So let's just talk about some of the rapture types. And I'm not sure if we can go in all of these or they're going to be partials or what, I'm not sure. But I just want to go over with you right now, and then we're going to go over the individual scriptures. Enoch, Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Elijah, 2 Kings 2, 9 through 12. Philip, Acts 8, 38. Paul, 2 Corinthians 12 and 2. These are all pictures and types of the rapture. Matter of fact, I put some copies out of last week's sermon out there on the back. I'll make some copies of this. And I'll put it back there likewise so you'll have something to be able to write notes on Write your notes down. You can transfer or put it all together, but this is good stuff right here. Jesus in Acts 1:9 is a picture and a type of the church being raptured. So now let's go ahead and let's go over some scriptures. They're mighty little. I don't know if you can see those scriptures. Wow, I didn't realize they were that little. Wow. So here we go. Look, I'll read it to you, and of course you'll have it on the outline. Genesis 5:21-24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let me tell you something about Enoch. Enoch was Methuselah's father. Methuselah means after my death it comes. So Methuselah, he died during a storm. What storm was that? The 40 days and 40 nights. That rain. So that symbolizes also the tribulation. So if that Methuselah speaks of the tribulation, then Enoch being taken out early speaks of the rapture. Okay? So there's one. This, I'm telling you, if you see these, you might want to bring your binoculars next week. I can make these a little bit bigger. Okay. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, and what shall I do for thee before I be taken away from thee? And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon thee. And he said, thus thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be. And it came to pass that while they went and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and took hold of his own clothes and rent them in pieces. Now let's talk about Philip. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both in the river, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when he was come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Here, Philip is a picture, a type, breadcrumbs of the rapture. And let's talk about Paul. And it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and the revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot. God knoweth. Such a one called up into the third heaven. That is Paul being raptured. Okay, another breadcrumb, a picture, a type. And then finally, Jesus in Acts chapter 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they said, you men of Galilee, why are you staring, gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that went up is coming back the same way. Again, breadcrumbs, a picture, a type of the rapture. And let's just zero in a little bit more on these guys. And then we're going to go back into Elijah. Rapture types, watch this. Enoch shows the reason for the raptures to be brought into God's presence. Elijah shows that it's time that the rapture will make sure that things are brought to completion. Philip is a sign for all those involved. When we're taken out of the way, it's going to be a sign. People are going to see it, but old me is not going to get it. I blew it is not going to get it. You got this is one of those things where, you know, death insurance, life insurance, is no good if you get the policy after you die. You have to get the policy before you die in order for it to be effective. The same way, if you want to go into rapture, you better be saved now before you die and before the rapture takes place. Because after the rapture takes place, if you're still on this earth and the rapture takes place and you didn't make it, I promise you, it's going to be, think that it might be hard for you to serve God now. Just imagine how hard it's going to be for you to serve God when Satan has control, more control of this earth than he's ever had. Right now, he's got his Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts taking care of things, the brownies. But you know what? Once the rapture takes place, he sends out his special forces. It's going to be tough. And Paul, to receive a deeper revelation. There's things we're not going to understand until we get to heaven. There's things we're not going to know, not going to realize. You know, there's going to be things that we've always wondered, and once the rapture takes place and we see what's going on, we're going to go, wow, now that finally makes sense. And then Jesus, he's all of the above. Brought into God's presence, brought completion, a sign for all involved, receive a deeper revelation. And, of course, now watch this. We'll go over this part, and then we're going to get ready to pray. I don't want to get too involved in this right to start with, because it's so deep. We talked about this, didn't plan on talking about it Tuesday night, but Tuesday night we were talking about the events that were taking place, and next thing I know, we got a chart up, and I got charts. Matter of fact, those that were here, there's charts. I put charts that you can use in the day room over there where we have our Bible study. So now you have something to write your notes on, and it's got the prophetic line up there. So we got into pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, a-trib. We got into all of that. But again, that's not what this is about. And this is good stuff. This is good stuff. All right, so get ready. Elijah's rapture. First, it wasn't a great big surprise. When the rapture takes place, it's not going to be a great big surprise. You know why? Because there's still a remnant talking about it. There's people that don't believe it. There's people that say we're crazy. There's people that says, how's that going to happen? Well, you know what? It weren't raining when Noah built the ark. It had never rained before, ever. We had a greenhouse effect on the earth, and waters came down or came up from the ground, and it had that greenhouse effect. Didn't need rain. So Noah's out there building that boat and saying, it's going to rain. What's rain? Water's going to fall from the sky. Yeah, right. You know what? And even once they climbed in the ark, God gave them 7 days grace. People still didn't climb in the ark. But I can imagine they were beating on those doors, trying to get in when it started raining. Something they weren't used to. Something that never happened before. So, it was actually the talk of that day. Why was it the talk of that day? Let's just read 2 Kings, start at verse 1. We'll see that it was a planned event. It just wasn't haphazard. It just all of a sudden it just appeared. It was a planned event. The rapture, when it takes place, whether it's pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, whichever way it is, we can argue on the way up. But if you're born again of Jesus Christ, whether you've got your dates all in the order, if you're born again of Jesus Christ and you're washed in the blood, we're going to go up regardless. Okay, whether you believe it's going to be post-trib, mid-trib, a-trib, we all going up. Okay, so now, and we can, like I said, we can go on the way up. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass, it came to pass when the Lord would take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. He'd already told Elisha that he's going to be taken up, that he's going to be taken away. Elijah doesn't like this. He wants to stay with him. And so he says, if you're going to go, at least let me have that double portion. He says, you got to go with me, and this is going to be another sermon, but you go to these places, and you'll get the double portion. So it was a planned event. People knew that Elijah was going to be leaving, and they weren't sure how it was going to be, but they knew he was going to be taken up. Again, it was a planned event. People, can you imagine if the rapture took place right now? Some churches, at the end of the service, would shake hands and said, let's go eat at McDonald's. Wouldn't even know it. Some people that profess to be Christians, but it's in name only, they're going to wonder what happened and why. Why did God take some of their loved ones who were not just talking about it, but lived it? So, it's a planned event. We know it's going to happen. Jesus said it was going to happen as he was being taken up in the ascension. So, it was a planned event. Number two, it was a promised event. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said to him, and the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So then he went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets were there at Bethel, came forth to Elijah, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. In other words, yeah, I know it. And just be quiet. I don't want to hear about it anymore. Wow. How many people have heard that lately? God's going to come back and take us. We don't want to hear that. Hold your peace. I don't want to hear all about the rapture. I want to hear about how we're going to get this coronavirus under control. I want to hear this and this and this. You know, not to strike fear in anybody, but two congressmen and a congressperson, so to speak, because I'm not sure if they were congressman, congresswoman, or a delegate or what, but they, after having the coronavirus shot, still got tested positive for COVID. So, again, then we got all these strains coming from the UK and from Africa and all this stuff. But you know what? To me, that just lets us know this is coming. It's coming. Revelation talks about the plague. It's coming. All right. And then, not only was the promised event, it was a powerful event. Verse 9 says, and it came to pass that when they were gone over, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So again, very powerful. Not only was he going away, but something very special was going to happen to those that were left behind. So again, those that are left behind, you know, there's going to be opportunity like you never would believe, but it's going to be such a terrible thing because it's going to be so hard to operate because you're just getting sprinkled of the Spirit, and you're going to have some type of great resolution within you because you're going to find yourself after the rapture being driven, not by the Spirit, but by fear. Fear. You think communism is bad. Communism was bad, but nothing like this. You think the Third Reich, Hitler, he was bad. Nothing like what's coming. So, there's a planned event. We get ready to leave this place. It's promised. People are preaching. I guarantee you today, I don't know this for sure. I'm just telling you what I believe. Usually when I start preaching on something like this, I can go home and turn on the TV or somebody tell me their pastor. Guess what my pastor talked about today? What? And he'll say, or they'll say, same thing that I was saying. I bet you all over this world today, people are hearing about the rapture. It's a promised event. And it's powerful. Because we're going to leave this place. Church, we're getting ready to leave this place. Man, can you imagine what it's going to be like not to have those little aches and pains anymore? What it's going to be like not to have any more disease? What it's going to be like to not have any more night? What it's going to be like to never be tired, to never have to take insulin shots, to never have to take high blood pressure medicine, to never have to take whatever you got to take to survive because you're going to be taken right into the presence of Almighty God. Wow. Now, I'm going to stop it right here, and we'll finish this up either next week. But since it's the first of the month, we might do love and then do this the following week. But come on, y'all stand up. BJ, come on up here, bro. every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask a very simple question right now. So simple. And anybody watching this on Facebook, you better, I would like for you to answer this question. When I speak about the rapture, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody can see what's going around them. When I speak about the rapture, when you hear about the rapture, does it bring three words? Fear, confusion, joy. Fear, confusion, joy. Can't sit on the fence on this one. Fear, confusion, joy. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not saying this to single you out. I'm saying this for you to think about this. If you're here and the rapture, talking about the rapture brings joy. Nobody looking around. Would you put that hand up? That brings joy to me. Okay, now you're here today and I talk about the rapture, it brings fear. Could you put that hand up? Or you're here and the rapture brings confusion. Would you put that hand up? The challenge is if you said it brings fear, is to discover the root of that fear. Because I'll be honest with you. When I think about the rapture, it brings an intense joy in my life. But it also brings confusion. Because I wonder why so many people turn away from it and push it aside. And it brings that fear because I've got loved ones. I don't know if they're ready to go yet. So it brings all three. I kind of tricked you in that. It brings all three to me. Joy for myself. Confusion for how can people turn this away and how we keep going so far the other way from God. And fear for those that I know that aren't saved. Today, right now, I'm going to do a different kind of prayer. And we're all going to pray it together, okay? First, let's pray about the joy. Y'all pray with me. Father, I thank you that the thought of the rapture brings joy to me. Father, let that joy ignite bigger and bigger as the days go by because we see it coming. Father, I admit I am confused. I can't see why the world would keep calling bad good and good bad. I can't see how people keep pushing so far away from you. And Father, I admit it brings fear because I don't want my loved ones to have to face what's coming. But I give it all to you. Go ahead, church. I give it all to you right now. Ignite my joy. Help me work through the confusion. and remove the fear. And I thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we belong to you. We're yours. And we thank you for the great event that's getting ready to happen. In the name of Jesus. Help us to tell others. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Get ready. Elijah's rapture was breadcrumbs for us. Look what's getting ready to take place. Think it'll be awesome. I love it. I don't understand why more people don't. I don't get it. Do you get it? I don't get it. But you know what? The sad part is once the rapture takes place, they're going to get it. I can tell you this prophetically. The Sunday after the rapture, maybe the day after the rapture, maybe the moment of the rapture, this church will be so packed. People will be beaten to get in these doors. But you know,